Brother Evans, good evening.
Good evening, Little Pops. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm not doing so good. I'm feeling a little sick today.
Oh, are you?
But it's all
like
right.
A cold?
Yeah, like it's sneaking up on me, kind of. That's why I'm not, but the devil is a liar.
Yes, sir. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus and keep rebuking it.
Sure.
As frequent and as often, every time you call, rebuke. Right?
Yeah, I think about that. Man, I'm just waking up. You know, I'm tired, too, from, like, work, man. I was just thinking, because we have this thing with Sister Olga tonight, too, with Madison.
Mm-hmm.
That's way fair. Is that thing?
Say it again?
But it's, I forgot the name of it, but it's this thing I've been doing in Iowa with Sister Olga doing the Madison Dub. I think I'm about to post it next week or something. And I hate to do it, but I have to, man, because I do not feel good about it. I want to be up in there trying to be running the Madison, getting up and trying to bring it back to work by tomorrow.
Yeah, just send them a text message and let them know that you can't do it. Right? What time is it supposed to take place?
At 7:30 tonight.
At 7:30?
Yeah.
Is there something that Sister Olga is supposed to be doing tonight at 7:30?
Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
No, we have a meeting at 5:45.
Oh, no, there's a meeting.
You sent the text out yesterday to me.
Yeah, there's a meeting taking place tonight, and it's for the Women of Virtue, right?
Yeah, she's
right. No, well, Arnold is saying that Sister Olga had something that was taking place tonight that he thought he was going to try to participate, but he's not feeling good.
And so I don't quite. The Amway. It's outside. That's another thing that we want.
Oh,
to
it said
with.
Amway.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, I got you. So she's doing an Amway gathering, get people to come in and become Amwayers.
Yeah,
that's right. Got it. Yeah, that's their business model that she's involved in. I get it. Yeah, just let her know you can't be there. You certainly don't want to come in and make people sick.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, for real.
Mm-hmm. So, and are you overworking?
And that's the reason why I told them that I wasn't going to come in for the next 2 days. I was going to take the next 2 days off because I felt like that too when I was there earlier. And now, you know, I get my sleep. I ain't doing that. I went to sleep at like 9 o'clock last night, and I got up at 2:30 this morning. And that's way more than enough because I normally get like 4 hours. I was so tired today, man.
Yeah, no, you can't keep doing it. Your body does, most people's bodies require 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And if you only get 4 hours of sleep, your body is not rejuvenated. Sleep is how your body heals itself.
Well,
I've had many a times that I've, you know, one thing or another kept me up, and, you know, you don't get as much sleep as you're supposed to. And you find yourself the next day going, man, I don't even feel like picking up a spoon to eat. Nothing feels good. Right? Yeah, that's your body not fully having regenerated itself. That's all. Just make sure as you're doing your, you know, because I know you're working towards your vision and your goals. But make sure that you get to the goals by not overdoing trying to get to it. Whatever it is, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it
especially
is.
If God has it intended for you. Right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how is Jeanette doing? Is she putting in that level of work and overwhelming stuff? You got kids, you got young kids. It'd be different if you had, you know, teenagers that know how to conduct themselves and feed themselves and you know, clothe themselves, wash their clothes, and iron their clothes and things like that. You got kids. That's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, now she all right, Jeanette. You know, she's a trooper. Jeanette be working and doing her thing. I don't know how she be doing what she doing. I be looking at her sometimes like, how?
Yeah, she keeps her energy level up. That's what she's doing. And she's fighting back because sometimes you got to go get exercise. Go shoot some ball. Go, you know, by yourself. So you don't get into a competitive thing, but just go someplace, shoot some ball, run around on the basketball court, run to the gym. Lifting weights at home is good, but it's not necessarily encouraging because the minute you feel like stopping, you stop. When you're around other people doing it, you kind of look at them and you get inspired by them. There's a woman that goes to the Princeton Club at the one that I go to, the Express, and she's amazing. She's 90 years old, right? And she gets on the treadmill. She's walking at the same speed or better than the average person in their 50s and 60s. She gets on the bike and rides the bike for, 30 minutes. There's another woman there that's about 86 or 87. She bikes. She comes in and starts at about 7 o'clock in the morning, doesn't leave until almost 9. And she's working out all that time. I look at them and go, man, that's inspiring for me. So you have to have, it's good to have some people, it's good to have healthy competition going on. There's a difference between healthy competition and unhealthy competition.
It is.
Right?
I like good competition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unbiased.
Somebody that you, huh?
No, that was Jeanette coming, opening my door. Knowing I'm in Bible study.
Yeah, you can hear it out of my voice.
I've been trying to fight it too, Apostle. Like, man, but it's so hard. I be listening to my videos in the morning time. I be like, man, you can hear all of your voice. But it seems like it's getting worse because I can feel it going in my body and down in my bones, man. I had took a little cat nap before Bible, so I'm like, baby, wake me up at 5:30. Alright, so she woke me up at 5:30, man, I'm feeling super terrible.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's 5:37. It's 5:37. We're the only two here, so it may be we just need to go ahead and read a couple of things and go ahead and deal with it ourselves, because the one thing I don't like to do is waste my time.
No,
when I go into it, I'm going into it to get something out of it. So I think we'll just go ahead and get started. I'll open up in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We glorify you for being God and all by yourself, God, that there is no other. There's none greater. There's none more loving. There's none more caring. There's none more interested in the goals of our life than our God. People sometimes fall short on us, but we got a God that doesn't laugh at us when we make mistakes, and we thank you for it. We've got a God who looks at us and sees the best in us, and we thank you for it. We've got a God who wants us to succeed in all that we do, and we thank you for it. We've got a God that loves us and wants to love and shelter and keep our families and those that are around us, and we thank you for it. So tonight, as we delve and dive into your word, regardless of whether it's 2 or 2 million, we ask that you feed us according to our need, because we have a God who promised that he would supply our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is not about how many, this is about how well. And so we thank you and we bless you for being a well-meaning God. And we thank you for Brother Arnold. We thank you for his family. We thank you for the job that you've provided for him. We thank you for the opportunities and the bridges that you're going to create in his life as he goes forward, because he's just where he is now, And where he is now is the stepping stone, not the landing place. So we ask that you continue to grow his heart, his mind, his wisdom, his insight, his understanding, his knowledge, so that wherever he goes, he is the absolute ambassador of a God who utilizes him to be a blessing to them. We thank you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, so we're in the Second Corinthians, Arnold. And
okay.
I'm going to have you to read a part of it. I'll read the first, it's got 24 chapters, or 24 verses, I'm sorry. So I'll read the first 12, and then I want you to share with me what you hear and what it means. Okay?
Second Corinthians.
Read along with your Bible. Mm-hmm. Second Corinthians, the first chapter, is where we are.
Amen.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Starts off by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all of Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are still in trouble, by the comfort wherein with we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abounded in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and your salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation, the prize. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even for our own lives. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that we will yet still deliver us as we go forward. You also helping together by your prayers for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly towards you. I'll stop right there. So what do you think he's discussing?
He's talking, saying that he's giving courage, God bringing through him to give courage to the people that's suffering, also giving him filling him up as he suffers also.
Mm-hmm.
And just to encouraging the people is really what I'm getting out of it. It's like,
okay,
God's people suffering, but he giving the good news to God, like he giving the good news to God, people through God. It's really what I'm getting out of it.
Okay. God bless you, Sister Freeman. Who's Donna Freeman?
Donna Gonzalez.
Hey, Donna, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome and thankful and grateful, Donna. Thank you for joining us tonight. I don't think I recognize. Have you been here before?
No, I was invited by Miss Angela Walker.
Yes, Sister Evangelist Hart at Work for the Lord, Angela.
Very much so. Yes, she does.
Yep. Yeah, praise the Lord. Bless her heart. Sister Donna, we are in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and we're on chapter 1. We have been recently reading through the entire epistle or letters of the New Testament. And we do that because we want the people of God to be equipped with understanding of the word. Does that make sense? Most of us are equipped with the enthusiasm. Most of us are equipped with the love of God. The details is where the enemy typically hangs out. And so we try to go through the entire Bible and study it so we get the details out of it. I was looking today, and I thought it quite interesting that the Lord led me across a YouTube video of a pastor who was standing up in front of his congregation. He had an AR-15 in his hands, and he was using an AR, a real one, not a toy, not a fake, not a model, but an actual AR-15, which I would assume belongs to him. And he was standing, he was a Caucasian pastor, and he was standing in front of his congregation, telling them how they have to see faith like a person with an AR-15 ready to kill anything that comes against your faith. And while the messaging was, I thought, quite appropriate in regards to him trying to teach on faith, I thought that him standing in front of the congregation, and he had a little sight on the thing, and he had a little flashlight on it, and he was pointing it at the congregation, telling them, "Don't, wherever you go, you need to kill everything and anything that does not agree with faith." And I looked at it, and it brought tears to my eyes. That a pastor of a church could literally be standing before his congregation, and rather than teaching about God and love and the details of mercy and grace, he's showing to people who probably are not as spiritually endowed as he is, that you can use an AR-15 to exemplify your faith in God and take out anything that does not stand up with you in your belief as a Christian. And it blew my mind that someone could do that, because there's so many people that own so many different levels in the church that somebody would take that message and go, "Well, it's okay for me to kill some people when I tell them about Jesus Christ, and if they don't want to hear it, if they're Muslim, I can kill them." And it's terrible what we're seeing today in the church, because the people are not aware of the truth of the word themselves. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yes, amen.
And so, hey, Brother DeJuan, God bless you. So we sort of kind of, I say all that, Donna, just to preface the fact that we try to read through the Bible so people know what their Bible says and not what their pastor says alone. Because they said so in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter.
Apostle, but he was also towards the end, because of the limited translation, but he was saying that basically the faith that you should have within God, even when you're going through like crazy things, you still have faith, because he did when he had went through Asia or whatever, what he was saying, the possession of Asia, we were crushed overwhelmed beyond our ability and endurance, and we thought we would never live through it. So that just having faith too, of feeling like, "Oh man, I can't get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this," but they had faith to get through it because of God, and God got them through that. So he was explaining to the people to have how strong the faith should be.
And that's exactly what we're reading right now. That's why we're in Second Corinthians, first chapter. Hey, Sister Angela, God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Awesome. Your sister in Christ, Donna Freeman, is here. She came to join us tonight.
My favorite person.
As soon as you said that, it just sparked my memory. Sister Donna Angela's told me so much about you and how you are this awesome woman of God that she knows stands on the word of God and stands on the word of life.
Yeah.
I now remember who you are. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sister.
You're welcome.
And so we were talking about some of the misgivings. You hate to speak against pastors. One thing you never want to do is really talk against, because the Bible says, who are you to judge another man's servant, right? And so you really hate to speak against pastors that are out there. But I have to tell you, I think the Bible says that in the last days, there'll be many false prophets. And it's important that we come to a place as the body of Christ that we literally know the book for ourselves. Because Jesus also said, if it were possible, when these times come, if it were possible, even the very elect would get fooled by some of this mess. And it's important that we work towards being the elect. And I love the word elect, because elect to me means it does with any other election, somebody voted you in.
Come on.
And so when the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, the workman rightly dividing the word of truth, that needeth not be ashamed. I believe that the more we study, the more we get elected.
I think the more
you know the word, the more he's willing to say, yeah, I'm voting for this one to not be the one that's fooled. Because I unfortunately and sadly say, I've seen way too many people that just do not know enough about the word, as my mother used to say, to be able to punch their way out of a wet paper bag. But they do know their pastors. They do know the choir. They do know what church they go to. But they don't know if the person standing there is teaching truth or teaching a version of truth that they have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's three words that I'd like to give us tonight. Three words. Theological. One word. Theological. Next word. Theoretical.
Somebody doing something, they need to mute the phone.
Oh, I believe that might be, it may be Brother DeJuan.
No, I was trying to text Sister Ogie and them. Y'all can hear me texting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I'll mute you for a second. That's all right. I'll just mute you. Don't worry about it. All right. So, theological? Everybody got that? Please write it down.
Theoretical?
And thematic. Those three words should always be a part of your thought process as a child of God. It's part of the kingdom. And the reason that those words should be there is because theological means the study of God. Theoretical means I made up some stuff about God. Theoretical means after I've studied and know who's making stuff up, I can apply real truth to my life, because it becomes an actionable understanding of God. And so the people of God need actionable understanding, because if Jesus said that I came that you might have life and life more abundantly, if he said that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, it sort of kind of tells me that everything going into the negative, Satan is in it someplace. And if I don't have enough, if I've got too much theory, I won't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be theoretical. If I've got a bunch of theology where I've studied the word and I know the word, I know what spirit it is. I know how to speak against it, and I know how to protect myself from it. That's thematic. Now I'm taking actions, right? And I know the right actions to take. Does that make sense?
It does.
We're in 2 Corinthians. God bless you, Sister Hawanda.
Y'all bless, family. Greetings.
Hello, Hawanda.
So we're in 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. We've already had opening prayer. And we're starting at verse 1. I'm going to read through the first 12 verses. And I want us to share what it is that he is speaking to. And then I want us to share, just like with last week's message, how faith is meant to overcome facts.
Yes.
Faith, the gift of God, are meant to overrule facts. Something can be on you, something be after you, something can go to try to pull you down, but he gave you a gift to overcome everything that the enemy places before you. He gave you some tools that when you use those tools, you usually get good results. So watch what Paul says. He introduces himself in the letter, and he introduces his brother in Christ, Timothy. He says, Paul, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, which meant his apostleship was not something that was assigned to him by a man. Nobody gave him an ordination for it. Nobody called him to the side and said, brother, if you're tired for the next 3, 4, 5 years, I'm going to give you an ordination. I'm going to make you one of the ministers. He's saying it came free and it came from God. And that's very important, because when we talk about the body of Christ, every gift comes from God. A man can recognize it, but a man cannot ordain it. I don't care how many times he tells you, here's the letter, here's the, you know, study this book, study that book. The man is never going to ordain the gifts of God. God ordains those gifts in you. God puts what he puts in you. God gives you the grace of the gift. God gives you what he gives you for his kingdom, for his purposes. So Paul makes sure that they understand that when the first statement, Paul, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not by the will of men. And I'm with Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinthians, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on in verse 3 to say, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our troubles, that we may be able to comfort others which are in any trouble by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so are consolations, the prizes, the return, also abounded by Christ in us. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. Either way, it is for your consolation and for your salvation. Somebody tell me what he means.
It's for your good. It's working for your good, basically.
Okay. That is working for. So he's saying, what's going wrong in his life is for the good of somebody else's life?
Yes, sir. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Does everybody agree with that, Sister Donna?
Mm-hmm. I do. At some point.
Okay. Which point don't you agree?
Well, let me say this, Pastor, and thank you for asking it. I am truly a student of the Word. Mm-hmm. When you began and you said that Paul was called back Christ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel. And that is my belief myself. And I say that wholeheartedly because I used to, when I was going to church, I came up in they called it, quote unquote, a sanctified church. And I would listen to the elder, everything he said, I did. Until one day, I got into the Word for myself.
Talk to me, sister, come on.
Yeah, I did not have to answer to anybody. Nobody had to ordain me. And I was in a church where, oh, well, you got to be ordained. No, I don't have to be ordained by man. I have been called, appointed, and anointed. So I don't have to be called by man. I don't have to be ordained by man. No, I call out devils. I chase witches. I don't care who it is. The Bible says that I have the same authority that Jesus had. And that makes me greater than anything. If God called me, appointed me, anointed me, a man cannot tell me, oh, well, you know, you have to be ordained. But no, I don't have to be ordained. I was ordained myself.
Oh, and no. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. And go ahead, Sister Donna.
So it's just, you know, I talked to Angela all the time, and I just, you know, I don't care what people say about Donna, because this ain't Donna. This the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside that tells me what the authority, all authority comes from God. And he gave me that authority to do just like Jesus. I call myself sometimes Pastor Junior Jesus in the earth. That's what I am. I'm Junior Jesus, the sheep part of him in the earth. Because I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm not, you know, I don't answer to man for my calling because they didn't save me. I was somewhere going somewhere, wherever I was going. But God said, no, let me call you. And he made me the matriarch of my family. So with me, with me, and then it took my family on in.
So you became the first of many lives that got saved.
Yes.
Because of the breakthrough of revelation that you received. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All right. And I mean, we could go down a road that won't ever end on that one because...
I'm sorry.
And it's... No. Please don't misconstrue. This is not your big I, little you church. This is the Jesus Christ is in charge of this church. The Holy Ghost is in charge of the movement. And we trust that where the Holy Ghost is going, we need to go. So, no, we don't have that. You won't hear, well, I'm the pastor, and you'll never hear that come out of anybody's mouth up in here. We just don't do it that way because we are committed to carrying the word of God the way the word of God has been structured. And nothing in the word of God allows any man to be anything more than a servant. Because Jesus Christ himself said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve.
There you go.
And the very word minister means servant. It does not mean title. It means a gift to be able to serve the people of God.
Amen.
And not get caught up in your own, what's the right word for it? Accolade. You're not looking for applause. You're not looking for somebody to come and put up a pastor's appreciation day and all that mess that comes along with religion rather than understanding the relationship that God, that Jesus Christ came to present to us as a free gift. So, no, you're spot on. And that's why I started off with talking about that specific thing he said, by the will of God. Paul is the one apostle that did not hang out with the other 12. He doesn't kick. In fact, everybody, let's go to Philippians real quick, please. Go to Philippians, the first chapter, and then we'll come back to this. Everybody ready for that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
First chapter.
Biggest Philippians of all.
Okay.
First chapter of Philippians.
Okay.
I'm going to show you where. Let's go to. Go to right around the 12th chapter. or the 12th verse, I'm sorry, first chapter, 12th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Paul says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. All my problems, all my issues, all my troubles, all my pain, all the things I've struggled through, they hurt, but they turned into the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ, verse 2, are manifest in all place and in all other places. Verse 14, and many of the brethren of the Lord waxing confident when I got locked up in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one preaches Christ of contention, an argumentative Christ, a church filled with people who argue back and forth. He was talking, they even have that out there. This is all not new. This has all been going on for a long time. He says, but the others do teach of love, knowing that I am set to defend this gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in presence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I then do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Watch what verse 28 goes on to say. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by my death. For to me to live in Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I won't not. He's going to flip right over to, let me go over to here. I want you to see this. He's going to go on and talk about how, from the point that he got saved, and I want you to read it on your own time, just read the book of Philippians. He's going to talk about how when he got saved, when he got saved, he said, I went out and started churches and had never even met the apostles. 3 years of out there ministering, watching souls get saved, and I haven't seen not one apostle that walked with Jesus. And then he finally gets to a place and he said, I realized that maybe I should go check in with Peter to see if I'm doing this right. So I'm saying that to let you know, when you have a calling on you, your calling is based upon whatever God handed you. He knows what he was doing when he called you out of the madness of the world into the gladness of his kingdom. He knew what he was doing. Most of us have not even touched one-tenth of what God has in you until you go through the suffering, until you go through some trials and some tribulations, until you begin to understand the gift of patience and long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden a new you appears in a way that you'll go out and touch folks and your whole household gets saved.
Been that done.
All the babies start changing. Talk to me, Donna. The people around you start going, whatever it is that you got, I got to have that. That is way more valuable than what I've been doing. Is that what you're talking about, Donna?
That's what I'm talking about. I've been through it all, Pastor. I've been through two children shot and killed. I've been through four brothers gone. My mother gone. I've been through hell and high water, but I would have been done all to stand. I'm going to stand.
Hallelujah. We're
joined, girded about with truth. Hear me. I'm going to stand on the word of God, come hell or high water. Dead or alive, I'm going to stand.
Amen. Amen.
That's where I'm going.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation.
Unto salvation.
To everyone that believes, you got to
ma'am.
Believe it. You got to trust.
Yes.
Without that, without the faith, you are lost cause.
Yeah, you are.
Mm. Mm. Anybody have a comment to that before we get back to reading?
I do. I was in the Cox's Inn and everything. I lost my cousin and lost a few other people in my life too. But I still believe in God got something good for me in the long run. Yep.
In the long run, God's got it.
God got something for me.
And for those that don't know, Brother Dewan was in a car accident many, many years ago. They told him, you know, he wouldn't be able to eat, that feeding through a tube, wouldn't be able to talk. He could barely breathe. Dewan started coming to church. He started applying the faith of God in his life, and he's talking, he's eating,
Lord.
He was a paraplegic. He's now walking. He's not walking like you and I. Hallelujah. This is the power of our God, and our faith has to be in a place where we start overruling the facts of what life is saying to us, because life is difficult. Life is really difficult.
Yes,
and if you don't have the faith of God, not faith in Him, that's different.
Come on.
Let me try it again. Too many people have faith in God and not the faith of God. Jesus was talking about the faith of God when he said, when you say to the mountain, move, the mountain.
That's what I'm talking about.
That is the faith of God, which goes back to what Sister Donna is saying. It makes you sort of a mini Jesus. It makes you anointed, able to speak to a thing, even though the thing may tarry. What you spoke is going to come to, glory, thank you, is going to come to pass.
See,
that's what Paul and them are talking about right here in Corinthians. Watch what happens. Listen to a good Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I'm there by the will of God, and I'm with Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Can I stop there for a minute? And I want, because I want to give you something somebody shared with me a long time ago, and because of the Holy Ghost, I knew they weren't telling the truth, or I knew they didn't know the truth. And here's what a person said to me before. They said that there was a woman that they knew, and this was a brother in church, and he was a minister. And he says, well, you know, she's going through some things, and I can't speak to that because I ain't never been there. You know, she's a prostitute, and I don't know that life. I don't understand that life, and I can't speak to that. And I heard him say it, and I was just about to agree. Yeah, brother, I know. If you don't know what a person's going through, if you ain't never been through it, and that's how we think as people. But let me ask you a question. Do you think the Holy Ghost was with the prostitute when the prostitute was prostituting? Do you think the Holy Ghost is around? I don't mean in, I mean around, because we serve an omniscient God, which means he's every place, omnipresent, all at the same time, and has all power, omnipotent. So if God is everywhere at the same time, you don't have to have a relationship like a prostitute to know how to bring one out.
Come on.
Come on.
Does that make any sense? I want to make sure it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
He said that to me, and I realized something's wrong with that. Because how do you serve an all-knowing God and don't know nothing?
Yes.
Because the sin of prostitution is no different than the sin of theft, because you're stealing your own soul. The sin of theft is no different from the sin of a lie, because what you took, you could have earned.
See?
The sin of a lie is no different than the sin of murder. Because when you told a lie, you killed somebody's truth.
That's it.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. And so you begin to realize with God, sin is sin, and it doesn't matter what a person did, does, or is doing. You still Correct. Got a word in season form if you trust the Holy Ghost, who will tell you what to say.
Yes.
He will show you yes. how to reach that heart. Does that make yes. sense? So, yes. so Paul is saying, hey, listen, with all my trouble ain't doing nothing but making me stronger when it comes down to comforting other people in salvation. Right? That's Verse 5, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, which means to me that you have to suffer.
In order to reign with him, you got to suffer.
You have. And we talked about this not too long ago in Bible study. Salvation is free. Mm-hmm. Anointing is what costs.
Come on.
And does it cost?
Anointing has a price on it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's
yes,
a price
sir.
On it. And the price is the willingness to go through whatever you go through for Christ to be the victor in it.
Yes.
And that means even losing children.
That's right.
You have to learn how to be victorious over that, not be
yes.
waylaid, floored, and turned all against everything because you lost a child. It is funny how people think when they go, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. I lost a child. But the selfishness and the self-centeredness of mankind doesn't even realize you're not the only person that lost it. What about the other million? What about the people that told you they lost a child and you didn't relate to it because you didn't think it was going to ever happen to you?
Woo, mercy.
Amen.
Mercy.
Amen.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
You just sympathetically, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel your pain. And then when it hits you, you realize what that pain really was.
Yeah, bro, bro.
Hallelujah. Yep. And Paul says, for
and
as
why
the
we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have
yes,
it.
Ma'am.
It's not going to be not exempt from it. Jesus was not exempt from it. He had to go through as well. If he had not, then we would have been a lost cause. So we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer, because I've already overcome that.
Yes, yes.
In me, you won't have peace. You know, keep your peace in him. Not in Donna, not in Joanne, not in Sue, not in him. He had to go away. To send us to peace and send us to comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, we'd be a loss. I say, I love you. I'm telling you, Pastor. When I start thinking about the good, it just brings tears to my eyes. And it's the joy. It's not no tears and sorrow either. It's God, I thank you. I thank you. Woo. I just thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah.
They used to say that when we used to be trying to tarry for the Holy Ghost. You remember, pal? Tarry for the Holy Ghost. Yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then mothers say, no, you ain't got it. Stay down there. You know, till you get it. Now I see. Now I see.
Yeah, blind, but now I see. They got you waiting for something you already got. It's like being on the bus headed to California and somebody says, you got to wait till the bus takes off and you halfway there. Why in the world? But if you don't know your Bible, you'll be sitting back going, I got to wait on something. And the something that already took place.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to learn how to do is utilize what took place.
Yeah.
Become
That's
good
it.
With it. Practice it. Put it to work. Watch God do what he does. Whenever you pray for somebody, it is not you that is going to answer the prayer. When you lay hands on the sick, you're not going to make the person well. It is the reply to the prayer that is the thing to be glorifying. It ain't the prayer warrior. It is the prayer responder. And so ultimately, the body of Christ has thwarted and forfeited its gift to the world, being the gift to the world that God called it to be, because we're too embarrassed to go, if I lay hands and these people don't get well, they gonna think I'm a phony. It ain't got nothing to do with you.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing to do with you.
At the same time, Donna.
Oh, God.
They got nothing to do with you. You do what you're supposed to do and leave the rest to God.
Come on.
Oh, well, if you take them home, it was meant to be. You just do your part. Do what you was told to do. That's go lay hands
Hallelujah.
On the speaker. That's it.
Yep.
And let
do
God
your part
be God.
And watch God do his. Yep.
Okay.
All right. We do it good. Let's keep going. All right. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, they happen, so our consolation, so does the prize come. Right? In fact, the bigger the suffering, the bigger the consolation.
Yep.
The bigger the trial, the bigger the miracle, the bigger the test, the better the grade. And sometimes we fight the test when in all reality we should invite the test. Come on, do what you got to do. Because in all reality, I know whose I am and I know whom I serve. Amen. So he goes on, he says, I'm going to give it to you in a second, verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for the consolation of others and their salvation, which is effectual, which means it works, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is your consolation and salvation. Everything happening to you is so that you can be a benefit to other folk once God gets you out of it. That's what he's talking about. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation from the suffering. Watch what he says, verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant that we're going through trouble too. Which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. It was getting real bad, above strength, so much that we despaired even for our own lives, thought they were going to kill us. We saw it coming. Mm-hmm. We saw death on the horizon. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us.
Yes.
Somebody tell me, what in the world is Paul trying to teach us?
Isn't that about us, man? It's about believing in God, faith in God, in anything but fail.
Faith in the fact that God can do anything but fail.
Yes.
Come on, glory.
All right.
Yes.
All right. What else is he teaching?
He's teaching that you go through what you go through, and you need to get your lessons out of it so you can help the next person when you come through.
That is so well and so simply put. It's beautiful. Get the lesson, not the tribulation. Quit focusing in on. You ever seen people that can take a molehill and talk about it like it's a mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Think of
the garbage top, the garbage can top ain't on properly, and I don't know why you don't know how to put on a garbage can top. I mean, everybody else can do it, but you. I don't understand why you just. And it'll turn that into that great big thing, and we'll miss the very fact that you help to pay the bills, you're taking care of the kids, you're being a blessing to everybody you touch, but the garbage can top. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, somebody they'll just pick and pick at the gnat. And won't see you for all the things that you do. Children are the biggest culprits of it. Children are the biggest culprits of it because 90% of children still don't see their parent except from a place of judgment. They know what you do wrong, but they ain't never seen how many times you sat up at night crying in your pillow to make sure they had food. They never saw how you prayed and prayed and prayed to get the job to make sure that they had clothes. They never noticed. Anybody seen that?
Yes.
And they are the biggest culprits of not seeing the blessing that you are. And then relationships do it, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
People can sit back, a man can sit back and have a problem with his wife based upon everything, but and never see the fact of all the things that she does, but it's just the fact that the food wasn't hot tonight.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Or the dinner wasn't good tonight. And get caught up, never get caught up on the small things. As a believer, we must keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize is the soul of the person, not the actions
yes.
of the person.
Yes, sir.
Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
The prize is the soul, not their actions. So mm-hmm. what else is Paul talking about? They talk about death, and they were going through some stuff, and they began to realize that they had no power over the death they saw coming, but their God had power to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's saying? Verse 10, he delivered us from so great a death, and he mm-hmm. does deliver. He in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Anybody ever been sick to the point that you thought you want to go be here?
I just went through mm-hmm. chemo like.
mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Go ahead. Been
yeah,
sick, right?
I have been there, and I used to lay in my bed because after they give you chemo, I was just talking to my daughter about it today. When you do chemo, they give you 24 hours to come back. You have to go back, and you don't feel good at all. And when I talk about sick, you are sick. It is, I can't even describe it. And then you have to go get a shot. It doesn't even feel like you're in your body. You're just somewhere else, you're sick, you're delirious, and you can't eat, you can't drink. And then you have to get a shot in the back of your arm or in your stomach so your blood, your muscles, I mean, your bones can produce red blood cells because
mm-hmm.
they don't want that to get low. So you have to get this Neulasta shot 24 hours exactly after chemo. And then when you go home, your body feels like it is got volcanoes. That's how I can describe it. Volcanoes erupting all over your whole skeleton.
Mm.
Lay in the bed, scream and cry in pain. Yeah. So I've been there. I used to ask God to take me. I remember that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But instead of taking you, he kept you. But God. Right? Right?
Mm, yeah.
So let's keep reading. We're going to read all the way through. So verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer, the importance of us praying for one another. If you don't have a prayer partner, I would ask that you get one. If you don't have one, you should have one. There should be somebody that you're praying for, and somebody should be praying for you. Because prayer changes things.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Hallelujah. Yes,
so Amen. Make sure you have a prayer partner, right? So you also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, everybody's prayers made a difference in their life. Thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Arnold. I think I said you were going to read verses 12 through, and then we'll discuss.
I know. I didn't hop in this car to go give me some medication, Apostle.
Oh, okay. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to speak against that thing in a minute, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn this over then to Sister Angela. 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 12, if you would. Sister mm-hmm. Angie, you with us? Did we lose her?
She's probably on mute. Away from her phone.
Huh. We'll find out in a minute. Sister Angie, are you there?
Yes. Yep, I'm here.
Okay. All right. You ran to get your Bible. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I can see. Praise the Lord. Second Corinthians, first chapter, verse 12. Go ahead, Sister Angela.
Okay. You said Second Corinthians what?
First chapter, verse 12.
Okay. Second Corinthians, first chapter. Wait a minute. Verse 12. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. It's coming, honey. Let me get it. Okay. Second Corinthians 1 and 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience.
Mm-hmm.
That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and no more abundantly to you ward. In essence, the Apostle Paul expresses, I'm reading something else. Sorry, go ahead.
Verse 13.
Okay, hold on. Verse 13. Hold on. Sorry, you guys. Okay.
That's all right. Take your time.
The Apostle Paul states he is not writing anything other than what the Corinthians could read and understand. Is this the Bible verse?
Yeah, you're reading an explanation from somewhere.
Hey, yeah. Hold on. I'm sorry. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, let's just go there. Okay, now I'm going to find it. Sorry, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 12, 13. Right.
Okay, 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, well. While this is our boast, our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so. Relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us, just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But surely.
Stay right there. First off, Sister Chimayo, welcome. God bless. Are you there?
Good evening. Yep, I can hear you.
Good evening. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And we're on verse 18. So that you can catch up, right? So what is he saying in that part? But as God is true, what did he say? Something about, verse 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use likeness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay, or yes, yes, and no, no? What's he saying about us? What is he saying to us?
Make up your mind. Words. It's either or, no in between.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody agree to that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is he also saying, just as a thought, is he also saying that because you are an ambassador, you do know the day that you told people you believe in Jesus Christ, you became a high-profile individual.
Amen.
I sure did.
Hallelujah. You became a high, right? You're a high profile. And what I mean by that is before you opened your mouth and said, I love the Lord or I'm a believer, people didn't care what you said. They didn't hold what you say accountable. Because you were just like them. You could say anything and then do something completely different if you wanted to, and they would still see a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But once you open your mouth and say you believe in the Lord, you say something and don't do it.
Woo! Condemned. To the cross.
Hallelujah.
You saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they watch you like a hawk watching a chicken.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Hoping for you to do something wrong. Hoping that you'll do it wrong. So mm-hmm. that they can sit back and say, see, I told you about that God thing. Look at that. Man. But I want you to, and why is this important? Because there's power in you.
That
is the one thing that God is trying to exemplify through our walk and through our talk. Every time you say something, watch, I hope you get this. This is going to be so good. It's going to blow your mind. Or it's going to be so good, you're going to sit back and say, I knew that. Here we go. When you are really anchored in the Lord.
Come on.
That's what I'm getting ready to tell you. Have the right to prophesy into people's lives.
Come on.
And watch it happen.
But, come on, glory.
You don't need the title of prophet. You're already prophetic.
Come on.
Okay.
You can tell some folk God is about to do something amazing in your life, and God will do it just because you said it. That's why he wants your yea to be yea and your nay to be nay.
Come on.
Because your words are so very important to him. Now, and I want you to go back to some other scripture that we know and may not. If you connect it, you'll see it. The Bible says, put on Christ that you might be seen. The minute you accepted Jesus Christ, we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior, we put him on. God sees you and he doesn't see sinners. Listen to me good. The Holy Spirit watches sinners, but God watches you.
See?
Uh-huh. God watches you. So when you sit there and speak a thing into somebody's life, if you'll keep your yea as a yea and your nay as a nay, and you'll do what you say when you say it, God will turn around and say, I got to honor your word that you spoke over somebody. Why? Because I want them to know your mind.
That part, Pastor. That's it.
Glory. God wants people to know he's real.
That's it.
And he wants them to know that you're real in him. So, the reason that Paul brings this up is he's saying, everything I've ever said, did you not see me do it? And if I couldn't do it, did you not hear me say no to it? And then he's going to explain why that's so important. Y'all ready for that? Here we go. He says, yay, yay, and they may keep reading, Sister Angela. Watch what he says next.
So, verse 18. Yep. So, as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes.
Yes. Watch 20. Everybody said, please absorb this. Go ahead. What happens?
No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now,
don't go any further, please. Mm-mm. I want everybody to marinate in that a little bit. Please read that part again. Just read it one more time. He's telling us why your yeas have to be yeas, your nays should be nay. He's telling us why this is important as a believer. Doesn't matter if you didn't do it. He's telling you if you go forward and start doing it, you're going to see some stuff. Watch this. Say it, read it one more time.
Okay, I'm going to read 19 one more time. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of
by
God.
Who? But wait a minute. It's spoken by
God,
who?
The Holy Spirit.
It says by us.
Oh, yes. By us. Okay.
Spoken by us,
by
God's
us,
glory.
God. Spoken by us to the glory of God.
Mm. Did he just say, what you speak is God using you to speak, so mm-hmm. that when God used you to speak, God can now bring it to pass? Did he just say that?
Yes, he did.
Does anybody else get that out of that? Am I by myself on that?
Yes.
It reads good in the King James Version, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May I read
it? You want to read it? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Donna.
Is that verse 21?
20.
That was verse 20 and 21. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Verse 19 and 20.
And it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now devil is a lie. For
all day long,
he which establishes us with you in Christ and have anointed us in God, who have
I don't think we will read anymore tonight.
He sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts.
Do you know that I've heard pastors say that this scripture right here, they taught it wrong? Because I have heard where they said the promises of God are yea or nay to us. It's never it's no. Yes, and maybe, and it's never no.
What?
No.
Mm. No. I'm sorry you heard that.
Yeah. We getting it right here.
Hallelujah.
We got it right here.
Yes, ma'am. So let's bring it down to its core. Let's break it down from a whole to a half, and from a half to a quarter, and from a quarter to an
break
eighth, and from an eighth to
break
a sixteenth, from a 16th to a 32nd, from a 32nd to a 64th, from a 64th to a 128th. Let's break it down. Did he just say every promise of God is yes? Didn't he just say that?
Yes, he did.
And most people say is yes and amen. Which means an agreed on. Amen means agreed on in this particular scripture.
Mm-hmm,
it's in Greek. Yes, and he agrees on it. So if that's the case, why do we have so much turmoil when you know that whatever it is the enemy is doing, God already has an answer?
Come on.
Why do we sit back and feel like I will never have a house? When even Jesus said, I got a mansion waiting on you when you get to heaven. Don't you
Come
know
on.
You're going to get a house while you're here? Anyway. Why do we consistently worry about whether the light bill money is going to show up? If you know that you've done the will of God, which is I'm working, I'm being productive. That God ain't going to find a way to not only pay the light bill, but have some extra laid over so you can go to dinner after you pay it.
Come on.
Why do we settle for, and I'll use myself in this particular case, why do we settle for sickness rather than put sickness to the test of God?
That's what I said.
I had... I was limping in church on Sunday. I've had and some people know, on December 28th, I had an eye stroke. They told me, and so one eye was blinded. Don't know how it happened. It was not uncomfortable because somebody gave me to say, you never told me. You know why I never told you? Because I never believed it.
That's in the water.
Because I know faith is meant to overrule the fact.
Come on, man.
Maybe this is a good teaching moment. If I keep speaking the fact too much, it'll shut down my faith.
Come on.
If I keep telling people I'm sick, I'll be sicker.
That's it. That's what I say to them.
If I keep telling people I'm broke and I ain't got no money, I'm going to stay broker. Right?
I'd rather
tell people I don't have the money right now, but I got a rich daddy. He'll be sending it to me soon.
I'd rather tell some folks
I don't feel good right now, but I got a physician that cannot fail me. I'm talking to some people that really know who they are. I'd rather tell some folks rather than to keep speaking the fact and overrule what faith is trying to do.
That's it.
Come on.
The promise of God is yes and amen, then that means it's yes and amen. Now, I've shared and I hope and pray this is effective for some people. Most of us, many people, especially in the world, and it's not certainly not the New Covenant Church of Christ family, but many people, their biggest addiction, you should write this down, the biggest addiction in their life is not alcohol, it's not drugs, it's not sex, it's not money. Their biggest addiction is a pity party.
That's it.
They're addicted to sympathy.
Yep.
I need somebody to feel sorry for me so they can see why I'm not being productive, why I didn't go to church, why I didn't move when I should have, why I didn't pick up the baby because I was just too frustrated, why I didn't go out and get a job because don't nobody want to hire me. I've been in prison before. Don't nobody care whether you've been in prison. Paul was in prison, but it didn't stop him from being present.
Come on.
That's the part that the body of Christ has got to get away from. That's why Paul is talking about, listen, I was on my way to death. We were all about to be killed, but God showed up right in the middle of that mess. Now I've learned a new lesson that even the devil can't kill me if God don't want it to happen. And so I'm more powerful than I thought. I got more gifting and anointing than I even knew. You got to keep in mind, Paul is now in the second letter to Corinthians. He's been through the book of Acts. He's been through the book of Romans. He's been through the first book of Corinthians. He's fought with demons and devils. He has been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been locked up. They had people plotting and planning to kill him to a degree that some men say, I ain't gonna never even eat again till I kill Paul. It's been that bad in his life, and now he realizes they ain't got nothing on me. Because all God's promises. Yes. And amen.
That's it.
So I'm saying that to say, no matter what you're dealing with, you have to deal with it based on the promise, not based on the fact. The fact is the fact. It's there. It's real. We can't take that away. But the promise is it's got to go away. It's not meant to be you to You don't have to close your eyes to the problem. What you need to do is open your eyes to your God. I remember one of the old preachers preaching, quit telling God about your problem and tell the problem about your God. I remember those words. And that's all he's saying is you got to use faith. That if we use faith, we can overcome some facts. I was talking to someone just the other day, told him, hey, I'm in a place where I was ready to just walk away. And somebody said to me, the devil is a lie, Pastor. They use faith to overcome a fact.
That's it.
Glory.
Does anybody get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Now do you believe it? Amen. Do you believe it, Sister Chanel? Do you believe that? Do you believe that every promise that God made to you is yes and amen? That He's going to perform it.
Yes, I do.
Hallelujah. All right,
Sister Angela. He's not a God that He shall lie. He's not a God that He shall lie.
He ain't got
it. For anything that He do, if He said it, He gonna do it. If He spoke it, He gonna bring it to pass.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Can somebody share with us when God has overruled a fact based on your faith? Has He ever done that?
No. I'll go.
Go ahead.
Okay, so overruled the fact. I don't know if everybody knows what I went through last year. Well, it had started prior, you know, they didn't know what it was. And then finally I got diagnosed with early breast cancer. Come to find out that I didn't have invasive breast cancer, but I had one lymph node. There was two lymph nodes that got removed, and one was positive and the other one was negative. But God had it to where it didn't grow out of that lymph node. And I thank and praise God. I thank and praise God. Because people, you know, women go through the lymph node thing and all that other stuff, and then that qualifies you automatically for chemo and radiation and all that other stuff. So I'm going to say, yes, I have experienced but the fact when it comes to God, because He pulled me out. He pulled me out. And I can honestly say, for the first time while I was going through chemo, I felt the separation of my flesh and my spirit. My spirit was calm, cool, and collective because God was with me. He let me know He was with me. I knew without a shadow of a doubt God was with me. And then my flesh was the part of me that was scared and corrupt and full of fear and all that other stuff. And I felt that for the first time. I will never forget that. Because God allowed me to really, really get to experience Him. And when He says He will be with you, He will be with you. He is there. It's not going to be fireworks and roses are going to start growing out of the ground and all that. It's going to be in your spirit. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit, is going to calm you while you go through what you go through. And it's for us. That's why I believe in the word, because we're supposed to kill the flesh. And you got to constantly keep doing that when you're going through, because it's your flesh that's lying to you. So that's that spiritual warfare right there. So, yes, because of the fact, yes, I've been there. So
there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. None. Yeah. None. Your flesh ain't no good. None at all.
Nope.
You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk in the spirit. So you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Because
this flesh ain't nothing. Nothing at all. Sometimes I want to slap
Sister Donna.
Well, oh, I'm
sorry. Sister Donna, can you elaborate on that? Because I think a lot of times, and I know the people in New Covenant, most of them know exactly what walking in the spirit is because they experience it. But can you elaborate what it is when you say we walk in the spirit? How should people see that?
We walk according to the word of God, the spirit that lives on the inside, our body, soul, and spirit. We have a body, and the spirit of God lives in this body. Once we leave this earth, then the spirit goes back to where it come from, which is God. So when I say we walk in the this flesh is no good, it is not. It's going to die one day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We are not. We're going to have a glorified body, one that does not have to worry about cancer and hypertension and heart attacks and strokes and, you know, can't see, you know, the inner us this is what God is trying to do for us. Get the inner us to walk in this earth realm. The inner us. So that when this body no longer is alive, then we can move truly forward. Right now, we're still struggling like Paul was. We're still struggling. And we're forever going to be like that until we leave this body. But until then, I walk in the spirit. I walk in the word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation. I walk in the spirit. I don't see Donna in the flesh, because Donna can go off. Excuse me, y'all. But Donna can go off. You know, I'm saying, but I have to keep Donna under in order for me to walk in the spirit of God, in the new of Him. I didn't have that before. I was somewhere going somewhere, wherever I was going before I got saved. I wasn't that good Donna that Angela so loves now. No, she should have knew me way before then. but praise be unto God, who gives me the victory and causes me to triumph in this life, in the spirit realm. That's where.
I'm not where Sister Donna is at, because I can hear it in her, and I know what you mean by. When you say the old me, and you know, because Donna was snapped, you know what I'm saying? And it's like you conquered that part. And it's like I'm at the part where it's like I'm noticing that, and I have to conquer that part. Because when I snap now and people see that, they be like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? Like, dang, bro, what God just do? You know? And it be, and I feel so bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I just had an incident like that yesterday, and it made me feel so bad afterwards. But I ain't even going to say but, because when you say but, I learned this from the apostle. You making an excuse for it, and I was going to make an excuse for it. And I'm going to stop doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Because
it's like I have to start recognizing this a spirit in them. And it's like I know that too. You know what I'm saying? But it's like I just need to be more fighting Arnold. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like that other side to come out of me, and it's like, you know what I mean? And I just had an incident like that, man. And I feel so bad afterwards, because it was like,
that's why you got to kill
everybody.
I mean, but you got to remember that you still in the flesh. Okay? You got to remember that you're still in the flesh. But when you get in the word of God, you don't walk after the flesh. You walk after the spirit. Because your flesh man, we're still human. We still make mistakes. Ain't nobody nobody perfect but Jesus. Hello. That's it. He's the only one.
I love that you said that. I want us to focus in on that part, right? You're still in the flesh.
You're still in.
When everybody's focusing, because I asked the question, what is it like to walk in the spirit? And if there were a way to define it, at least from my perspective, it is a consciousness of the fact that I'm still in the flesh.
Yes.
Let me try that again. When you're conscious of the fact that you're still in the flesh, you recognize every emotion is coming from that flesh. Every feeling is coming from that flesh. Every negative thought is coming out of that flesh. And if I'm conscious of it, then I can crucify.
There you go.
And that's why Paul said, I crucify myself daily, because he knew he was still in the flesh. And if you don't recognize it and you think you're in the spirit, you're not in the spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And when you walk in the Holy Spirit, it's you recognizing all of my emotions. And I want everybody, I'm going to ask everybody to see it this way. Every emotion is a gift from God.
Yes.
And there's more emotions than I'm mad or I'm happy. There's disappointment. It's a feeling. There is humiliation. There is intrepidation. We've got about a million emotions living inside of this flesh. If you don't recognize you're in that flesh, then the first thing you felt, you won't check. Right. You'll let it keep evolving until it moves into wrath, mm-hmm. hatred, discomfort, disdain.
Yes.
And but if you know that you have a spirit, the spirit of the living God living in you, you ask it to check the emotion.
Yes.
Can I piggyback off that, Dad?
Please do. Come on.
Okay. So I'm very transparent. I am in psychotherapy, and I had my appointment yesterday. And the psychotherapist, what he teaches me is from the Bible. He can't admit to it, but I bring it up all the time. I'm like, there's a scripture that fits this. There's a scripture that fits that. How amazing is our God? Thousands and thousands of years ago, that was written. And now science is even saying that the mind and body connection is so connected that what you think is how your body feels. And your brain does mm-hmm. not know what's not real and what is real. So
that's right. Come on.
You change your thinking. So yesterday he taught me how we have to catch our thoughts. And then we have to say, is that the truth? And then you need to, you know what I'm saying, find out what makes that not the truth and all that other stuff. So it's a whole thing. So what we think is how we feel. We have the power to change thoughts. That's the renewing of your mind.
That's
science
right.
is backing it up. The Bible is so real and so powerful. Why do you think I'm going home and I'm going to read my word and then everything comes up and you can't even get to the word? You got to fight to get to your word. You got to believe that word. In my bedroom, I have a container of mustard seeds. So I can look at those mustard seeds and be like, you know what? He said that's all the faith that I need is the size of that mustard seed. And we have to get to that point. We have to believe God's word over everything that we've been taught, everything that we see through social media, TV,
everything.
Movies, music, people, Uncle Lester, Auntie Fester, and all the mother, what your mama and your daddy done taught you and all that other stuff. We have to believe God's word over all of that. So we need to be catching those thoughts. Psychotherapy,
right.
I'm so proud that I did get in there because God is opening my eyes. The Bible's always been real. It's always been real. Science is taking from the Bible because they know how powerful it is, but they ain't going to tell you that.
I ain't taking psychotherapy, but
my psychotherapy because when I come with those scriptures, he gets blown away.
You need that. But see, in my case, I don't need no the psychotherapy is on the inside.
Hold on. I'm gonna say it like this. I'm gonna step out and I'm even gonna say this. Psychotherapy is the blueprint. Because the word tells you to do it. Psychotherapy teaches you how to do it.
Yeah, in the presence of counselors, a thing is established.
Yes. Yes.
It's always been there. But now let me speak for both sides, if I may, because I understand both points. So as a person matures in Christ, depending on the level of revelation and anointing you accomplish, you can pretty much go in the spirit and find a solution for 99.9% of the problems that you deal with.
Yeah.
So watch where I'm going up. If you have a drug issue, right, and you don't feel like you're getting delivered in the church, sometimes you got to go get professional help.
Let's
and
go.
And you can get away from it long enough so you can get a word from the Lord that actually impacts what the thing is doing. Because 90% of our problems are coming from some spirit or some infraction. And I know a lot of people may not believe this, but I'm speaking to you truthfully.
I need to stand up.
90% of our problems are stemmed and rooted in some infraction that took place through childhood.
Yes.
And they get exacerbated in adulthood by people coming back and opening up old wounds.
Ooh.
And then we get into a place where the old wound gets opened up and it's too hard to close until we mature. This is why Paul said, when I was a child,
yes.
I felt like a child.
Yes.
He didn't say when I got saved, I felt like a man. He said, come on, he was saved and he still had childish thoughts. He was saved and he still had childish ways of dealing with things. He was saved. He still had emotional issues that he had not yet conquered. But over time, this is why you see him say things like, I became all things to all men that I might win some. But by the time you get to the end of that book, he started going, I am no more a people pleaser.
Okay.
What happened? He grew up. He began to realize some things. Hey, wait a minute. I don't have to please them. I need to just tell them and let them find out for themselves.
But
the one thing that is absolutely true about your Bible is that at the name of Yahshua or Jesus, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue at some point is going to confess. So you can sit back and deny all the way up until you get in the hospital. And when you get in the hospital, you go see the doctor, but you're going to be calling on Jesus.
Come on.
I don't care who you are.
Amen.
If you don't receive it, shake the dust. Come on. Ain't nobody got time for just. I'm going to tell you what the words say about it, and I'm going to let God do the rest of it, because I ain't going to be trying to prime you when the word is the truth. And that's it. It is what
you're going to find it out.
I hear the Holy Spirit. I hear the Holy Spirit now. See, the word is the word, and we have to get into the word so the Holy Spirit can illuminate and expand your mind on what the word is saying. And then also we can gather information from other sources. Me and my son was just speaking on this yesterday, that a lot of preachers are sitting behind pulpits and they telling you what the word said, but they ain't giving you the blueprint. They can't give you the blueprint. Because 99% to 100%, they ain't got the blueprint. It's the people who are in the word and their mind is expanding and they're getting the blueprint on how to do and work and utilize the word. We were talking about this yesterday. A lot of people you said to renew your mind, but you never told me how to do it. How do we do it? I'm not going to sit there all day long and just... Oh, I can't have that thought. Father God, forgive me. Oh, I can't have that thought. Father God, forgive me. I can't have that thought. Father God, forgive me. You're not going to be doing that. You need to have the blueprint on how to utilize the word of God. And it takes the Holy Spirit. And if I have to go to psychotherapy to get my information. Yesterday, I've been going to classes to become a CASA worker, and now I'm finding stuff out about me. That it was wrong that when I was growing up that I had to sit up there and take care of my brothers and sisters. That was wrong of my mom to allow me to have to do that. There was stuff I didn't even know that I thought was right that was wrong. A lot of stuff. So, yes, the word is the word, but we also have to get into it and start expanding our minds and getting revelation from the Holy Spirit and then eating from different good sources also, too. Psychotherapy, classes to better yourself, so on and so forth, other people. So, yes, because we need the blueprint on how to do the word.
Yeah, there is. Thank you, Angela. There's sound doctrine that people have developed from the word.
Yes.
There are great people who teach how to eat and eat healthily. Let me take it right out of the Bible.
Yep.
It started when they read it in the Bible and said, oh, and they began to develop from there. And the beautiful thing about it is, other than the things that are purely malevolent and evil and coming from evil sources, almost everything else that's ever been created has been created from something in the Word.
It's because Satan perverted it. Satan perverted it.
Satan perverts it, correct.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And so, it does make a whole lot of sense.
Let's go back to something that you said, and then we'll close out. We're after seven, but something that you said about the blueprint, right?
Mm-hmm.
The blueprint is always in the word. It doesn't it doesn't matter who gets it. What matters is that you get it, right?
Yeah.
So 90% of people's issues, 95%, 99%, sometimes 100%, from the fact that they didn't take the first part of the blueprint seriously, which was repentance.
Because you ain't doing nothing without that. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere with
because
that.
Because if you can't see you're a sinner, then all you're doing is trying to take old wine and put it in a new wineskin.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of times people don't get born again, because they're just trying to become a better person. And God doesn't need you to become a better person.
Right.
He needs you to become a new creature. And in order to become a new creature, Jesus made it very clear. And this is why I believe he said this. He made this statement. He said, lest you come as a little child, you shall in no way see the kingdom. Don't mean you ain't in it. It just means you can't see it. And so what is the little child part? It means unless I'm willing to honestly go back to that place and those places as a child, that I begin to be altered, I begin to accept evil as being normal, I begin to think it's okay for me to sleep with this person, that person, and this person, and I've never repented of it because, oh, by the way, I was just surviving. I'm just doing what everybody else is doing, and some people have never seen the sin of it. They've never seen how unpleasing this was to God. Never seen it. You still got people walking around today that'll sit back all day in church and tell you, yeah, well, you know, I remember I stole some bread one day, but I was hungry, had to feed my kids, man. But I ain't like that person over there that robbed the bank. And that's why I started off saying, sin is sin.
I don't care how you do it.
That's right. And many people don't want to accept the fact that they really are sinners, or that they really were sinning, that I never should have done it. And it's not the fact that you can't go back in the time machine and undo it, but the minute that you confess it, it becomes undone, because he says, I'll take the sin and throw it as far as the east is from the west. I'll snatch it out of my memory, never to remember it anymore. And I'm going to give you a great example. I'm going to give you Jacob and his 12 sons.
Yes.
Two of those boys messed up so bad that as long as Jacob lived, no matter how, when they came for the final blessing, right when Jacob was getting ready to die, he looked at them same two boys and said, that same mess is going to keep you cursed. That ain't being let go of by God until you repent honestly of what you did. You killed all them folks when I didn't send you for that. There's some stuff that as long as you don't let it go, it'll still linger as a curse.
Yep.
Well, what kind of curse is it?
Are gone, correct?
Say it again?
So what you were saying was once a person repents, the curses that were on their lives before, you know, getting saved, those end.
They because they get covered by grace.
Yeah, right. Okay. So that was
and
the
until
answer.
We, does that make sense? And until we cover it by grace, it keeps showing up in our walk, even as a believer. And I find myself cussing people out because they still hitting and opening up some wound someplace that I never dealt with. I never looked back. If a person is selling drugs, just as an example, and I hope this is a good example, if I spent some time on the planet selling drugs because I was trying to help my mama. Mama was struggling. 8 kids, man, and she didn't have enough money, and I just went out there and started doing whatever I had to do to help my mother out, man. I'm not letting my family go down like this. It feels noble. Let me say it again. It feels noble to have done that. But if you can't look at it and go, I was poisoning the community, how many women did I make go out and sell their bodies in order to get crack or heroin in order to take care of their habit, and they didn't even feed their kids? I don't see that part. I only see the part that I was being noble, trying to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, you got to repent of that.
There you go. You got to let it go.
You must repent. Mm-hmm. Right? And I've shared this a million times, and then I think I'll end there. But, and I hope and pray you receive it with an open heart. Every woman, when I got saved and the Lord began to show me, I knew what other people had done. I didn't know what I had done.
Mm-hmm.
I knew why I felt how I felt because of what people had done to me in my life. What I didn't know was what I was doing because they had did it. And
right.
So when I misused women, when I took from them money that they should have been spending on their kids, when I was keeping them from paying the rent because I'd go and just take them, look, I got to have, and then I'd go and foolishly gamble it or do something really stupid and destructive because it wasn't gained in the right manner. I went back, when the Lord showed me who I was, I went back to every one of those people and said, I'm sorry.
Won't he do it?
All the way, I mean, 12, 13 year old stuff that I had done. I went back and asked people, can you please forgive me? And it was funny. Most of them said, you were great. Which was the first time I began to realize how sick we all are. You saw great, and I was ravaging your life.
Yeah.
And you still saw something good in the wrong I was doing. And I went back and said, you know, sister, I appreciate that, but I'm just trying to tell you that was wrong. I was not a man. As a man, if I'd have came, when I came into your life, I should have been there to take care of you, to help you with your family. I was robbing you. Don't you get it? Well, I didn't give you nothing I didn't want to give you. That's how sick we become from sin.
I had a few people tell me that too, though, Apostle. When I first started walking on my journey and taking it serious, I went back and started apologizing to a lot of the guys that I introduced the gang like to. You know,
mm-hmm.
the majority of them told me they thanked me. And that's what I thought, like, that's crazy. And I broke it down to them on why I was wrong for it. And they didn't receive it like that. Still to this day.
Mm-hmm. And it's because the sin has them so blinded, they actually believe what they're doing has some nobility to it in some place.
Right.
And so let's go to Philippians 4 real quick.
Philippians 4?
Yes, ma'am. Philippians 4. So the mind of Christ, creating a new mind. And I think that this is just a really powerful thing. I mean, I had to deal with this for probably a year and a half, trying to get to this place in my life, which means it don't all come easily. Philippians 4, 8. Actually, you can read 4 through 8. Yep. When you have a say amen, please.
Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 4.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear what Paul says. Mm-hmm.
You reading in King James Version?
I'm reading in the King James.
Okay.
So he starts off by saying, I'm going to start at 6. There's first learn to be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, be thankful. Let your requests be made to God versus to men, is what he's saying. Verse 7. Then will the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will help keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. Finally, finale, end point, brethren, whatsoever things are true, if I'm not honest with myself, I'm still broken. If I'm not honest about the things around me, I'm even more broken. Listen to me.
Blueprint.
You can be in the midst of a mess. and you can't do nothing about the mess, but you can still turn to people. I called somebody the other day and had to apologize for a mess that came from my family because I'm honest about it. I can see it. I'm not going to protect what's wrong anymore. Anybody listening? I don't care if it's my dog. I don't care if it's my cat. I don't care if it's my kids. If they're wrong, they're wrong.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to know how to both be a protector but a confessor.
Okay.
What sort of things? Is everything through prayer and supplication? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, right? And then find the things that have a good report and learn how to think on that.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
That's how you develop a new mind.
Yes,
right?
Renew your mind.
Start looking at even the worst things to find the good things that can come out of it, rather than getting focused in on the worst thing, so no good thing ever appears.
Come on.
Right.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because it's really easy to do.
I do.
It's real easy to do, to focus in on the wrong of things and to see how bad something is. It's real easy to be destroyed by it and to be, how could this happen to me? But it's also the spiritual part when he says, find out how to pull the best out of that. Keep your mind intact.
Yeah.
Keep your heart clean. And don't trust your emotions. Trust the spirit.
Right.
Now we're walking in the spirit. That's the blueprint.
Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Glory.
That's the blueprint.
Yeah.
See, simple example, if I had to go up to the school for my kids, which I've done, and I looked at the teacher and I said, you know, can you share with me what the problem is? And the teacher said, A, B, and C. When you ask your child, well, what is the problem? The child says, teacher, A, B, C. And so you have to sit there and be able to be both protector and confessor. I know my child, and you're about 80% right. He did all of that mess. But also know it takes something to trigger that mess, because I know the child. He don't act like that when he's around me. He don't do this, or something triggers that. So I'm going to make it real simple. If my child has a problem, you call me, I'm going to come up here and fix it right then immediately. But if I find out that you're the problem, I'm going to come up here and fix it immediately.
Yeah.
Teacher or not, principal or not, because it's never a one-sided story. Oh, glory to God. Takes two hands to clap. Can't clap with one hand. So there's always something taking place that we have to discern. And the way to stay in the spirit is to make sure you don't function out of the feelings, because the feeling will be, I'm going to protect my child.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put, they better not mess with them. Well, there's some times when your child deserves to be messed with, because your child is way off and ain't doing it the right way. And rather than protect what's wrong, what sort of things are true? Whatsoever things are honest. Keep those things in your thoughts and your process, or your thought process. And it turns out really well in God. At least that's what I found more often than not. Because most people are seeing it, even if you won't admit it.
Yes.
Most people see it, even if you ain't saying it. They know who you are. They know who the people around you are. They're observant. People are not stupid. They're not lame. They're just good people, especially in church. Glory to God. They're loving people, and they just want the best for us. So as we get ready to close tonight, I would just say, remember the difference between the three T's: theological, theoretical, and thematic. The word of God is thematic and theological. If you study it, it'll turn into action. You study it, it'll turn into actions. You study it, it'll turn into actions. If you keep guessing at it, it'll turn into problems. Mm-hmm. Satan loves theoretical believers. Well, I believe the Bible says this. I believe God ought to do it this way. But that ain't how God functions. He's going to do it his way. What I need to know is how to do it with him so that I can walk with him and be confident in my future. So if there are no closing, in fact, I'm going to ask closing thoughts. Let me go around the room. Brother Arnold, any closing thoughts before we pray out?
Yes, sir. My closing thoughts is just to be more aware of not having God transform me and not just becoming a better person.
We might well stop right there. That's big, brother. That is, Arnold, that's beautiful. Closing thoughts, let me go around to the next person, Sister Wanda.
I just wanted to say, just to add to all the magnificence that already has taken place, and I believe you had already said, just to reiterate it, that, yeah, like Sister Donna was saying, like, about our flesh. Our flesh is potentially dangerous. So what we to crucify this means to die to your, how we need to have a daily death. We need to die daily. That's how we have to walk in the spirit. We have to die daily to ourselves and our own ambitions and goals and plans and desires, especially if they don't run the will of Yah.
Come on. Hallelujah. That's it? You don't have any more than that? Come on now.
That's it.
So, and to just add on to what Sister Wanda said, and all that means is just, I have to check my emotions. I have to be able to kill them off because they're going to lie to me. My feelings are lying all the time, man. They love lying to me because my brain wants to protect me. And every time I get a sense or a feeling of something, my brain kicks in and says, well, I got to protect you. So it'll help me to make up a bigger lie to get me away from something in order for it to get what it wants, right? So if I do drugs, my brain will lie to me about everything everybody said to me so it can make me get away so I can go someplace isolated and start doing drugs. The brain is a strange thing. It's the greatest gift God ever gave, but it can also be your worst enemy if you start trusting it more than you trust the spirit. Thank you, Sister Wanda. Let's go to Brother Dewan. Closing thoughts.
The brain is dangerous to mess around with. The brain is dangerous.
Say that part again, Dewan.
The brain is dangerous to mess around with. The brain is dangerous to mess around with, yeah.
The brain is deadly. Yep.
The brain is a terrible thing to waste.
It's dangerous. Dangerous.
All right, sir.
You got to keep your head with the Lord Jesus Christ. All the time, it's our strength and people, yeah.
So you're saying the brain is a deadly thing, and you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ always.
Yep. Amen. Follow your footsteps and stuff every day or daily. Yeah.
Yes.
Check your footsteps. Watch where you step. Hallelujah. Yes. Sister Angela, closing thoughts.
So my closing thought is, I love the conversation. I love the study. I want to thank and praise God for having such an anointed pastor that gives us the blueprint
and congregation. Hallelujah.
Yes. And gives us the blueprint to how to utilize it and to make the word work.
He definitely
yesterday,
gave you the blueprint.
Yeah. Yesterday I was, like I said, I learned something new real quick just with my brothers and sisters, and this goes for us too. The three C's is called catch it. What am I thinking about? I mean, what am I thinking about right now? When you notice a change in your mood or when you become upset, then ask yourself, what am I thinking about right now? When you notice worry, overthinking, all-consuming, what if, catastrophic thinking, etc., then ask yourself, what am I thinking about right now? Number two, check it. Is it completely 100% true? What is the evidence for the thought? What is the evidence against the thought? And then you got to challenge it. And then lastly, step three is change it. What is more truthful or more accurate? What is a more truthful or more accurate thought? You got to replace those thoughts. So the renewing of the mind. So I just want to share that with everybody, and I just hope and pray.
Catch it, challenge it, and change it.
Yep, catch it, challenge it, and change it.
Yes.
Glory. So,
because
the Bible, the scripture that we just read says we're supposed to think on the things that are true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Lovely and beautiful and all that, the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't help what comes into our mind, but we can help what takes root.
Yes. The meaning makes.
Yeah. And the way you think, let's say if you get up and you just like, you so used to being, I don't even feel like going to work. Get up tomorrow morning, be like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, for giving me a job to go to. Today, something good is going to happen to me today. Ooh, I feel good in my body. I feel good. Yes. Start doing that because your mind does not know the difference. We live in off of our emotions.
Let me say this. Mm-hmm. I like to intervene. I'm sorry, Angel.
That's okay.
You know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you.
You have the mind of Christ.
You have it. But you got to let that mind be in you,
which
also in Christ Jesus.
Christ
did not have Jesus' mind. He had the mind of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he did and was doing, he was doing it because he had the man of God. And then
he also had to fight his thoughts too. He had to fight his thoughts.
When you have these thoughts, casting down every imagination.
Yes.
And every high thing, because they're coming, exalts itself against the knowledge of. I'm going to say this by.
Stay right there, Sophia.
The word says, casting down every imagination and every thought that comes against the knowledge of God. So those two scriptures, they go hand in hand. And the devil, the workshop where he works at, is in the mind.
Because
if you can get your mind. He got you.
Yeah, everything is in the mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
So, Sister Donna, praise the Lord. I think you closed it out on the same exact statement, believe it or not. You said catch it, challenge it, and change it.
That's it.
Casting out, that means change it. Right? Cast out every imagination, change it.
That's
right?
It?
Let this mind be in you, right? And then catch it. And so it's absolutely, it's perfect and it's beautiful. And if we can just take the three C's away tonight, I think that would be powerful. And the three T's. Without those three T's, you won't ever catch the three C's.
You don't
know what the word is saying. In order to know how to change that thought, how do I get that out of my mind? How do I move on beyond this point right here at this time? So trust the Lord. As we get ready to close, I'm going to have Sister Hawanda close us out, please. But as we leave tonight expecting a miracle.
Yeah.
Don't leave tonight expecting normal anymore, please. Go expect a miracle. Walk in that thing until that miracle just show up. I know you're coming. I don't care what that is. I don't care where that came from. Hallelujah. Where's the miracle coming from? Where's something wonderful?
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh, glory, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you for the thing that has went forth today.
I thank you for every vessel on this line. Hallelujah. I even thank you for the ones that's not here, that is missing in person, but I pray that their spirit be right here, or that they be caught doing exactly what you designed them to do in their absence. So I just thank you. I want to say I love you. I want to say I magnify you. I lift you up. Hallelujah. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah.
Trust us that we won't take your glory.
Hallelujah. That in whatever way you desire to use us, that we will give all the glory, honor, and praise back to you. So we repent on today. We ask you to forgive us if we've fallen short in that way. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that we wronged in any kind of way, bring them back across our path. Hallelujah. If we are that child that has any trauma that will help us to bleed on others, we ask that you destroy it from the root. Hallelujah. That you pluck it up from the root. Hallelujah. That we may be a healed people that heal people, because we confess that we need you like never before. As we deny our flesh daily, we take up our cross and we follow you. Hallelujah. We ask that you lead us on the straight and narrow path. Hallelujah. That we won't look to the left or to the right. That we rebuke and reject distractions right now. Everything comes to hinder us, hallelujah, from moving forward that would like for us to stay stagnant, to focus on the negative, hallelujah. When you said we already won, when you said victory is already ours, hallelujah. I thank you that we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind, because your answer is yes and amen. I agree to your yes, hallelujah. So help us to walk out your yes as we speak those things that were not as though they were. Hallelujah. We look at the end result. Hallelujah. We won't focus on what's going on around us, hallelujah, because we desire to grow in you, hallelujah. I thank you for every trial and tribulation that we have been through. I thank you, hallelujah, that we are no longer victims to anything, not the sexual assault, not the sickness or disease, hallelujah. I thank you that you have used our trials and our tribulations to make us stronger, that it builds up the body, hallelujah,
that's it.
And that it edifies you, hallelujah, that we will win souls for you, because it's about the souls. Help us to not focus on the man. Hallelujah. Help us to focus on the soul as we examine ourselves daily. We examine ourselves daily as we focus on the man and the woman in the mirror. Hallelujah. Knowing that we got enough stuff going on ourselves than to be pointing out the plank or the log in somebody else's eye. Help us to sweep around our own door. Hallelujah. That we may be called. Hallelujah. Doing what we need to do that lines up with your will for our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Because the same measures that we judge will be the same measures judged upon us. Hallelujah. We want to be the one with clean hands. We want to be the one with a clean heart. Hallelujah. That we can be used, hallelujah, in any manner that you would have us to use. So we desire to be holy. Hallelujah. Holy and acceptable in our sight. Holiness. You said without holiness, no man can see Yah. And we just want to be holy. Hallelujah. Yes. So we ask that you not take us off the potter's wheel. That you continue to make us and mold us in your likeness and your image. Hallelujah. That you pluck up everything in us. Hallelujah. That has been planted all along. Hallelujah. Every lie of or deception that the enemy has sown into our life. Hallelujah. We pluck it up, from the root right now, that it can no longer serve us as we identify those things, as my sister said, in the seeds. We identify those things, hallelujah, and what no longer serves us, we can tell it bye-bye. So long, that is not who I am, and that's not what I'm up to. Hallelujah, because we know that our mind is a meaning-making machine, and it want to make meaning of everything, but we know that everything the mind tell us don't line up with the will of Yah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So put our mind under the subjection of Holy Spirit. We bring every spirit, hallelujah, every spirit on this line comes subject to Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that don't mean
fit for glory in your eyesight. Yah, in the mighty name of Yahushua. And everywhere that our feet trample, hallelujah, we decree and declare that it be holy ground. Hallelujah. Yes, that the enemy be glorified upon our praise. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's time that we be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. And that we do that with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. That we walk in a holy boldness like never before. That because the tables are being flipped. Hallelujah. I decree and declare that the houses are coming into order. Order of Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the chips will fall where they fall. If you must leave, you must leave. Hallelujah. Unless you are be rooted. Hallelujah. In the anchor. Hallelujah. So spirit of confusion has to flee. Our spirit of division has to flee. Hallelujah. Lukewarmness has to flee. In the mighty name of Yahshua. Hallelujah. Every demon, devil, witch, and warlock has to flee. You have no victory. You get no power or dominion or glory over us. We belong to the true Yah, the living Yah. Hallelujah. One that can be everywhere at one time and can handle all things.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Lord. We decree and declare, hallelujah, that victory is already ours. And we walking
it
out in this season. Hallelujah. We walking it out with holy boldness in this season. We walking it out with obedience in this season. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because to be disobedient is to reject Holy Spirit. So help us to move quickly when you say move. To speak quickly when you say speak. Help us that we don't get caught in disobedience of not quenching Holy Spirit for being not in the right place at the right time when you tell us, hallelujah, to move. Help us to trust you before, hallelujah. Increase our faith on today, hallelujah.
Increase
that it covers
it,
every area of our life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. We bring all aspects under subjection to you, Holy Spirit.
Well,
and we give you permission to come in
do.
And lead us and guide us and direct us and
have
correct us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I thank you for what you are doing for the head of our ministry. I thank you for how you're doing a new thing. Hallelujah. I thank you that that you will withhold from them. Hallelujah. I thank you how the anointing is falling fresh. Hallelujah. I thank you for giving him a refill because he confessed it out of his mouth that he wanted to give up. But I'm glad, hallelujah, for the authority to rebuke that spirit. Hallelujah. For he is
come on.
Hallelujah. To build out of our hearts, the way that you say build. Hallelujah. And he will speak the way that you say speak, that the house be set in order. And I decree and declare it by fire. For your glory, for your glory, for your glory. Because souls in that day. Hallelujah. We cry out to you, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Help us be holy. Help us because doing what we need to do, for we do demand neither the day nor the hour. Hallelujah. So all we can do is prepare to be ready. So help us that if we act, it'll be given to us. Hallelujah. So I thank you that we come to you as one body. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Many members of one body. On one accord. Hallelujah. Knowing that you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. That you are everything that we ever needed. That there is nothing missing in you. And that you don't make no mistakes. So I thank you for the lessons that you have placed upon our lives. And I decree and declare that we are not going through anything, that we are growing through every situation, and we get the lessons and the training that you have us in. Hallelujah, that we may win souls. That we may win souls, that we may be soul winners, hallelujah, because you say he that wins souls is wise. So we want to walk in the wisdom of Yah, hallelujah. Help us to walk in the wisdom of Yah on today in the mighty name of Yahshua, hallelujah. And I decree and declare that this prayer is done, hallelujah, and that it is never to be undone.
It is.
And everything that comes to rob it of going out to sin, what is already going to do, hallelujah. We block and bind it, hallelujah. And we tell it to loose
in the name of Jesus.
Let it go. And we send you to the outer darkness, to the abyss that you never
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We seal it with the blood of Yahshua right now. Hallelujah. And we thank you that we replace it with restoration.
Thank
I speak restoration over your people as you begin to elevate us because there is levels in you. Hallelujah. There's levels in you. And I thank you that we are going from level to level and from glory to glory. It's our decree over our life. Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody give God a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As we get ready to close, Sister Donna, thank you so much. You brought you brought some anointing and you shared it with us. Thank you. Brother Arnold, love you. Sister Angela, I think she took off already, but we thank God for her. And Brother DeJuan, continue to be the miracle that you are. And Sister Hawanda, you chased them away tonight. Thank you.
Yes, she did.
Sure did.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah. I love you all. I'll see some of you on Saturday and Sunday and the rest of you on next Wednesday. God bless everybody.
God bless
you. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good night.
Good night.
Good night.